It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 4 in the National Football League here on the critically acclaimed Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast, which is brought to you by FanVice.com, your one-stop shop for all your daily fantasy sports needs. FanVice has great tools, articles, live streaming video casts. Make sure you follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS, and check out the site FanVice.com. We've got some buys for the first time this week, which not exactly good timing. Well, I guess for the Packers injuries, you could say it is, but Packers and Eagles offense was awesome, absolutely awesome in week 3, and now they got to take a break. I bet you they probably would have rather stayed on a roll for a while and taken the bye a little bit later, but that is not how it works. I'm Ross Tucker, played 7 years in the NFL for a bunch of different teams, Redskins, Cowboys, Bills, Patriots, Browns. And now I'm in, I think, year 3 of fantasy football, and it's going pretty well so far. I'm doing well in my MFL 10 league, doing pretty decent in the Feast League. I think I scored like 120 points, but Evan, your team scored like 150. Ben Roethlisberger really came up small for me. Anyway, before we start breaking down the games and getting into your quarterback streamers, defensive streamers, Evan, this week, and probably for the foreseeable future, we're actually going to break the podcast up into two parts. We'll keep going through the games in chronological order and probably break it up from the 1 o'clock games to the afternoon and primetime games. But we're doing it because these podcasts have ended up becoming really long, number one. Number two, it's kind of a sponsor thing. So hopefully you won't really notice, but because of the sponsor thing, we need to break these games up or break these podcasts into two, at least for this week. We're trying to get it so that we don't have to do that moving forward. But that's the deal. So just want you to know we're breaking these up into two. And speaking of a sponsor thing, let me get one of those glorious sponsors out of the way before we start diving into the games. And that is my good pals over at BetDSI.com. Look, you like to make games a little more interesting? I know a lot of people that do. I got $15 for you. Not only do I have a great place where you can do it at BetDSI.com using the promo code Tucker15, you also can get $15 free. It's pretty cool. So with the Tucker15 code, you get $15 free at BetDSI.com to place on tomorrow night's game, whenever, really. You can place it whenever you want, and I think you'll really, really like the chance to. Look, it makes the games fun. Again, BetDSI.com, and use the code Tucker15 for a free $15. All right, enough with that. Now we can just roll through with Evan. Let's do it, Bri.
Next meal.
Let's start with the Thursday nighter, Evan. It is the Dolphins and the Bengals. Interesting Thursday night matchup. It appears, as we record this Wednesday morning, going to be at least another week until Tyler Eifert can play. What are you looking at on the Bengals side in this one?
I'm liking the Bengals defense against Ryan Tannehill. The Dolphins have some serious O-line issues right now. Brandon Albert, their left tackle, game time decision with an ankle. They had to bench their right tackle, Jawan James, last week after he gave up a late game strip sack against the Browns. No Mike Pouncey, and his backup, Anthony Steen, is out as well. So we'll see Craig Urbick starting at center. And I think that this is a classic letdown spot for a team coming off a home win. Now on a short week in a road game against Cincinnati, which is coming off a pretty disappointing loss, I think we see the Bengals smash the Dolphins. I like Jeremy Hill on the Bengals side. A.J. Green should get a ton of snaps against Byron Maxwell, who gave up a ton of catches to Terrell Pryor last week. I think that this is a Jeremy Hill game and not a Giovanni Bernard game. Last 2 weeks, we've seen the Dolphins' run defense really exposed by LeGarrette Blount, and then Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson both had pretty big rushing days against them from an efficiency standpoint. I like Andy Dalton, too, as a streamer. He's a guy who people may drop after he had a slow game. Like, didn't really tear it up the first 2 weeks. Had a really slow game against the Broncos, as expected. I think he ends up on a lot of waiver wires, and I think he's a guy who you might want to grab. I think that he's usable for sure against the Dolphins. And then Tyler Eifert should be coming back soon. I mean, one of the reasons to not use a draft pick on Andy Dalton was because he had no weapons beyond AJ Green, and that has borne itself out. But he's going to get a big-time weapon back pretty soon. So I like the Bengals in this spot and do not like the Dolphins' offense at all.
Really good point. I guess the two other things I would mention is that, you know, they've talked a lot about the offensive line in Miami, you know, mental errors. And Paul Gunther of the Bengals, I think, is a really good D coordinator and will know how to attack those pass protection flaws. The only other thing I think is noteworthy is, you know, last week Gunther said, look, I'm going to make Trevor Siemian beat us. I'm going to totally stop the running game. And they did. C.J. Yeah. Anderson had an awful game. And honestly, it was Simeon's first start on the road. I have no problem with what Gunther did. And the wide receivers for the Broncos beat his corners. Siemian played well. And sometimes the other guys play well. But I like the logic behind it. I only mention that, Evan, because if you're playing as the Dolphins right now, who are you trying to stop? I mean, it's Jarvis Landry, right? I mean, that's the guy that you're trying to take away. So, you know, on one hand, I thought, well, Tannehill's going to have to get rid of the ball so quickly, it'll be a bunch of underneath stuff to Landry. On the other hand, that's exactly what Gunther's thinking, too. So I just wanted to make that point. I think that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and the Bengals have been tough against slot receivers so far. Eric Decker only had 37 yards against them in week one. They've played some weaker opponents. But I think that the Bengals' defense will be able to kind of make the Dolphins one-dimensional in a tough road game with offensive line issues. And the Bengals this week are one of my favorite defense plays.
Let's move on and go across the pond. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. It's a Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. game. The Colts lost another defender, Trent Cole, on IR. The Jags, you know, there's a lot of issues in Jacksonville, Evan, but the biggest one might just be Blake Bortles just isn't playing very well. I don't have a great explanation why. It's year three. He should be comfortable. Better O-line, same receivers, but he's not. How do you see this one? High scoring?
That's what it's listed as if you're just looking at it from a Vegas perspective. I mean, it's got a big total. I think that there are some reasons to think that it could be a shootout, but I'm with you on Blake Bortles. I mean, does not look comfortable at all. Looks like he has mechanical issues. He came out of college with some mechanical issues, and it seems like those are starting to come back a little bit. But, you know, he gets to face the Colts defense, which is barely there. And I think that Andrew Luck and the Colts offense should be able to have a lot of success against the Jaguars. The Jaguars have, you know, on paper, their defense looks pretty good in terms of personnel, but they're not generating pass rush. I mean, they're toward the bottom of the NFL in quarterback hits, and they've also struggled against the run. So when you can't rush the passer and you can't stop the run, you know, that's a big, big issue for your defense. And I think that we'll see Andrew Luck have another big game. Historically, he has lit up Gus Bradley's defense, and I think we'll see him do that again. T.Y. Hilton is going to be a target monster, especially with Dante Moncrief out. Doesn't even matter the opponent. We saw that last week. He burned up Jason Verrett, who was, you know, shut down Allen Robinson the week before that and really contained Jeremy Maclin in week one. We saw T.Y. Hilton just straight burn Jason Verrett. The tight ends are in Indianapolis are starting to kind of like work against each other. Dwayne Allen has not had big target games. Jack Doyle has been a legitimate factor. I mean, at this point, I think that they're not that much different in terms of their fantasy value because their usage isn't that much different. The Colts are going to play base two tight end offense. Last week, Jack Doyle played 70% of the Colts offensive snaps, and Philip Dorsett was not heavily targeted. You know, I want to see a little bit more usage for Philip Dorsett before we crown him as a fantasy starter. And maybe I'll end up being late to the party on this, but I think that he's like a fringe starter in a season long league. T.Y. Hilton played outside more as expected last week. And that will increase his big play potential. In the first two games, he was playing mostly slot receiver, but he ran more routes outside last week than he did in the first 2 weeks. And that's where T.Y. Hilton can be a playmaker, and that's where he's going to create, you know, big plays. For Jacksonville, the running game is just a total disaster. I mean, it's a committee, and they can't run block. So I don't know how you could feel good about either of those guys, even against the Colts. Allen Robinson will have to deal with Vontae Davis, but Vontae Davis didn't look too special last week. Gave up a long catch to Tyrell Williams, and he's still rounding back into form after missing so much time. Allen Hurns had two monster games against the Colts last year, went over 100 yards in both. And then Julius Thomas, you know, Jason Braddock of he's a radio host in Houston. He had a great stat on the Colts, who their linebackers are the slowest in football. The Colts have allowed so opposing offenses have targeted their tight ends against the Colts 15 times so far this season. Those 15 targets have resulted in 15 receptions for 186 yards and a touchdown. I like Julius Thomas, who was good in the first two games, but had a predictably slow week against the Ravens last week. The Ravens always just are death to tight ends. I think that Julius Thomas bounces back, and I think he's a great DFS play this week.
Moving on, the game I will be at, really looking forward to it, Evan. I'll be in Atlanta for the Falcons. That O-line and the running back duo and Matty Ice against Carolina. Something to note is it looks like Sanu will be able to play, but he's got the shoulder injury. Julio Jones did very little against the Saints, and they still rolled up the yardage. What do you think in this matchup at home again against Carolina?
Yeah, not worried about Julio or Jacob Tammy or any of the pass catchers. I mean, the Falcons just won that game with their rushing attack. You know, so not too worried about the pass catchers, you know, not having big takeaways. I mean, dating back to last season, Julio Jones has 100-plus yards and or a touchdown in six of his last seven games. He, of course, did that in the first two games this year as well. His targets are down. I mean, the Falcons are trying to spread the ball around a little bit more, and I think that has really benefited Matt Ryan. We saw that benefit Cam Newton last year after he lost his number one. He had the best season of his career. We saw Andy Dalton spreading the ball around a lot in Cincinnati last season, and he had his best season before he missed the final few games with an injury. I think that Matt Ryan is a guy that if you can sell him high in a season-long league, you should try to do it. He's got Carolina this week, and he's got at Denver and at Seattle, which is just, I mean, you can't come up with a more difficult schedule than that. But I think he's still usable this week. I think he has a chance at a pretty good week. The Panthers have not generated a ton of pass rush. They are mid-pack in sacks. They got six, and they're toward the bottom in quarterback hits. And their defense really has not been tested yet. I mean, they've gotten to face Trevor Siemian, Sam Bradford last week, Blaine Gabbert in week two. You know, I want to see against a competent passing offense, especially in a road spot like this. You know, I think that Matt Ryan is still usable this week, even though, you know, you look at Carolina on the stat sheet and you start to get a little bit concerned.
What about Carolina offensively?
I guess that we should talk about Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman.
Oh, yeah, good point, good point.
Yeah, I guess everybody thinks that Tevin Coleman's the goal line back because he had a few touchdowns in the last game, but actually they have Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman actually have the exact same number of red zone carries this year. They both have 10. They have the exact same number of carries inside the 10-yard line. They both have five, and Tevin Coleman only has one more carry inside the 5-yard line than Devonta Freeman so far. So I really think that these running backs are just being used interchangeably, and you know, it just depends on whatever back is in the game. I guess we'll find out. We'll continue to learn more about the backfield, but that's what it has appeared to be to me so far. Obviously, this matchup is much more difficult against Carolina, which has played strong run defense as usual. And I think that Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman are both okay, not great, RB2s this week in fantasy.
What about Carolina offensively?
I think that Cam Newton is probably the number one fantasy quarterback play on the board this week. I think that Kelvin Benjamin might be the squeaky wheel that gets greased after he went catchless last week. He's also going to have a tough opponent in Desmond Trufant, who definitely will follow him all around the formation. Desmond Trufant did have some trouble with Amari Cooper, though, in week two. And, I mean, he shut down Brandon Cooks. But, I mean, he's a guy who it's not like he can't be beaten. And Kelvin Benjamin is 6'5", 240. The guy who I think in the pass catcher core could have a really big game is Greg Olsen. I mean, the Falcons have just gotten torn to shreds by tight ends. They did so all last year, and they have so far this season. They gave up a ton of production combined to the Bucs tight ends in week one. They gave up a ton of production to Clive Walford and the Raiders tight ends in week two. And then last week, we saw Kobe Fleener get off the schneid against the Falcons. And I think that Greg Olsen is, you know, as strong of a tight end play as there is on the board this week. He and Jordan Reed.
Got it. All right. Well, let's move on then to the next game, and let's go to Baltimore, where the Ravens, pretty solid defense so far, is hosting the Oakland Raiders, who didn't put a lot of points on the Titans on Sunday.
No, they didn't. Just a lot of missed opportunities, man. I loved Amari Cooper last week, but he had a sideline catch where he just didn't get both feet in bounds. He had two drops. There was a play where he got wide open by NFL standards and in the end zone for a would-be 40-yard touchdown bomb, and Derek Carr just overthrew him. And, you know, it's a play like that makes the difference in fantasy that'll take you from four catches for 60 yards to five catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, and you know, Derek Carr didn't make it happen. So, you know, that's the way the world works. Derek Carr will, you know, the Ravens have played good defense, like, consistently, dating back to their week 9 bye last year. They've played well this year. I think that they're not a great target anymore for opposing offenses. Aside from the Isaiah Crowell run that they gave up, like an untouched 85-yard touchdown run in week two, the Ravens have also been really, really strong against the run. I'm worried about Latavius Murray this week. I mean, he's already losing a ton of work to Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington and Jamiz Olawale. And I think he'll be a bust against the Ravens. Last year, though, this game, the Ravens played the Raiders in week two, and it was a 37-33 shootout. And Joe Flacco had a really big game. And so that may provide some hope for the passing game here. I mean, I don't think that Derek Carr is a bad start. I just think that when we look at the Ravens on the schedule, you know, because they were pretty bad in pass defense in the first half of last season, we still think, ooh, that could be a favorable matchup, but it hasn't been since the second half of last year. I mean, I really like Michael Crabtree. I think he stands out this week. We saw him be the most productive Raiders receiver in week three. He got a lot of matchups with Parrish Cox, who has been terrible, and the Ravens' weakest link at cornerback is Sharice Wright. And based on where they run most of their routes, Crabtree should get the most of Sharice Wright. Sharice Wright has given up a ton of production so far, whereas Jimmy Smith, the other corner, has given up very, very little. I think that Crabtree is underpriced on daily fantasy sites, and I think he's worth a serious look this week. Mentioned before how the Ravens are a horrible matchup always for tight ends. We saw that last week with Julius Thomas. I don't think Clive Walford is usable. On the Ravens side, just real quick, Steve Smith has really started to step forward as their number one possession receiver. It's really clear how they're using him. It'll be him and Dennis Pitta in the possession roles and Mike Wallace in the deep threat role. And I think that Mike Wallace is pretty interesting this week. The Raiders have allowed the most 20-plus yard completions in the NFL through three games, and Mike Wallace leads the Ravens in 20-plus yard targets. So he's got six of them. So I think he has big play potential, and I think that Dennis Pitta is a really strong play. And Joe Flacco is probably my favorite quarterback streamer against this Raiders defense that has given up the NFL's most passing yards and has really been disappointing from a pass rush standpoint.
Got it. So we got one defensive streamer for sure with the Bengals. We got one quarterback streamer with Joe Flacco. Let's go to Chicago where you live, Evan, where the Bears host the Detroit Lions. I got a chance to see the Lions up close and personal. I'll give you two notes on them. Number one, just talking with some of the players and coaches before the game, and then watching the game, it is really clear how comfortable Matthew Stafford is in this offense and how in sync he is with Jim Bob Cooter. Like, I think the Jim Bob Cooter effect on Matthew Stafford is real. I also think Marvin Jones is pretty good, but I have no idea what the Packers were doing. I mean, the end of the first half, they have a corner in man-to-man coverage. They're up like 31-3. They have a corner in man-to-man coverage with like a minute left, and the guy falls down, and Marvin Jones takes it to the house. And then another time, I mean, they had guys like Kentrell Bryce and Hawkins and Ladarius Gunter covering him. So while I think Marvin Jones is making plays and deserves credit, I wouldn't say he's definitely a fantasy number one, no matter what, moving forward. I do like Stafford. My sleeper, Evan, if you're ready for this.
Oh, don't take my sleeper.
I'm taking your sleeper. He's my sleeper now. I went to the game, and they didn't have the mustard I wanted, so I get to take the sleeper I want. And the sleeper I want is Dwayne Washington. Here's why. You didn't know this, okay? Here's what I know now, right? Theo Riddick is awful as a between-the-tackles runner. Just not good. Bad vision, bad cuts, no power. He is stellar, as we all know, as a receiver out of the backfield, even on runs when they can get him to the edge. But he really struggles between the tackles. I would suspect that Dwayne Washington gets more and more of the workload. He's a bigger back. He's more of a downhill runner. He's a banger. I like what I saw from Dwayne Washington. And then sometimes they had Washington in on third downs when they should have had Riddick in. I mean, that part of frustrated me. Washington should be the first down back, and then Riddick should be the obvious passing down back. This isn't complicated, but for this game, and I know you mentioned Dwayne Washington last week, so this is not like a Trey Burton, you know, thing, scenario. But I do think if you're the Bears or any team playing the Lions right now, what you're thinking is they're throwing the ball so well, we got to keep two safeties back. We cannot let Marvin Jones or Tate or whoever, or even Ebron, who looked awesome, I thought, on Sunday. We cannot let these guys just get huge chunk plays deep down the field. I think that you'll go two high safeties, which means the Lions will have the number count advantage in the box. Stafford's not afraid to take advantage of that. Hand the ball to Dwayne Washington. He is my sleeper. Thank you, Evan.
Unbelievable. All right. I guess we could talk about the Bears.
Yeah, let's talk about the Bears.
I think that Brian Hoyer is kind of interesting in two quarterback leagues this week. We did see him put up 300-plus yards, and, I mean, he's a good backup. You know, he's one of the better backups in the NFL. He gets exposed as a starter at times, and but he's, you know, he's very, very competent, and he's had stretches in the past where he's gone, you know, four or five games with being really productive. And so I think that we could see that Kevin White has started to at least make some plays. Zach Miller is a capable tight end, and Alshon is a difference maker. And the offensive line shouldn't be as bad as it looked maybe early on. I mean, they've got some talent up there. So and their defense is bad. They're going to be in a lot of situations where they need to throw the ball. The hot pickup this week, of course, is going to be Jordan Howard. And he's number one on most people's waiver wire lists. For me, Dwayne Washington is ahead of Jordan Howard. If you can get Dwayne Washington, I prefer him. And I think that Dwayne Washington outscores Jordan Howard in fantasy this week. But Jordan Howard has a chance to be an every down back for the Bears. Kadeem Carey is on the shelf with a hamstring injury. The Jeremy Langford is out 4 to 6 weeks with what sounds like a pretty severe high ankle sprain. And they're desperate enough that they had to sign Joique Bell, who has been done since the late 2000s, off of a street free agency. So Jordan Howard, and he's been used in the passing game, which is surprising because he wasn't used in the passing game at UAB, and then he ended up at Indiana, was very rarely used there. But he's a downhill runner, and I think that John Fox will like him, and he has a chance to get a lot of usage. I think I would rather have Darryl Washington in the superior offense.
Tennessee is at Houston. No J.J. Watt for the Texans. Are you liking anybody in this matchup? The Titans defense has not given up very many touchdowns, very many points at all so far this year. Is there anybody to get excited about in this one from a fantasy perspective?
I think that the Texans defense is really interesting this week because I think that the news of them losing J.J. Watt will take a lot of ownership away from them in daily fantasy when they're in a great, great spot. I mean, this is a prime bounce back situation for the Texans on 10 days rest after getting their clocks cleaned in Foxborough, coming back home to face a bad team. And I think Texans win this game big. Love Lamar Miller and Texans defense correlation play in daily fantasy. The Titans started to show a lot of run defense leakiness last week, giving up some big runs to DeAndre Washington. I think the Texans smack down the Titans here. I think that we see Bill O'Brien's a really good coach. He had 10 days to get his running game fixed. And I think that he'll be able to accomplish that against the Titans. I also like Will Fuller a lot. I think that we will see DeAndre Hopkins primarily match up with Jason McCourty, and Parrish Cox is the worst graded cornerback at Pro Football Focus through 3 weeks. And Will Fuller is going to end up running most of his routes at Parrish Cox based on where they line up. For the Titans, I mean, Marcus Mariota he's just drop him. It's not going to happen. Tajae Sharpe has struggled to the point where, you know, the coaching staff is starting to call him out. That's never great. And Delanie Walker is coming off a hamstring issue. And the Texans, like, if you look at the production that they've given up to tight ends, and they face some pretty good ones too during the stretch, like they give up nothing to tight ends dating deep back into last season. So I think the Texans defense dominates this game, and I think we see Lamar Miller have his breakout game. The workload is not in doubt. He's had at least 25 touches in all three of the Texans' first three games, and I think he breaks out big time against Tennessee.
Got it. Buffalo is at New England. Both quarterbacks supposedly available for New England. I guess it's tough to decide what you're doing with the Patriots skill guys without knowing who the quarterback will be. I guess if they're both healthy, it'd be Garoppolo.
Right. I expect it to be Garoppolo. With Gronk back, it just – and we have to expect him to be a close to full-time player this week, I think. With Gronk back, it kind of just makes everything like I think Julian Edelman is pretty locked in, but you know, you got Martellus Bennett there, you got Chris Hogan, you got Malcolm Mitchell, who he has earned snaps. I mean, he's a playmaker. I wouldn't feel good about any of those like complimentary options. I think that this, you know, this is another game where the Bills are coming off of a high. They upset, that you know, they fired their OC. Everybody had him buried after week two. In week three, they pull the upset, and they really took it to the Cardinals. I mean, they whipped them, and now they're on the road to Foxborough. And I think they're going to get smashed. They're going to get smashed. And I think that the likeliest way for that to happen is with LeGarrette Blount, who has had at least 22 carries in each of the Patriots' first three games. And he has been essentially the centerpiece of the Patriots' offense in the absence of Tom Brady. And I think that this is another game that just sets up really, really well for the Patriots to put the ball in LeGarrette Blount's belly. And, you know, even if he's got 11 carries for 33 yards at halftime, you know, he's going to wear out this on the road Bills defense in the second half. I don't think that the Bills will be able to get anything going offensively against the Pats. I don't even know what to do with Sammy Watkins. You know, is he going to play? Is he going to be effective if he plays? Is he going to, you know, miss several drives like he did in week two? You know, he's just a total blind dart throw at this point. Tyrod Taylor struggled in both of his games against New England last year. He had three interceptions in one of them, and in the other one, he was like the quarterback 27 in fantasy. And then, you know, LeSean McCoy is a guy who you got to fire up every week. You don't want to get cute with him, but you know, the game doesn't set up super great for LeSean McCoy. I think that it sets up really, really well for LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that, especially with no Sammy Watkins last week. I have no idea how the Cardinals let LeSean McCoy go off like that. I highly doubt that Bill Belichick will allow the same thing to happen. Let's go to the New York Jets, who are coming back home. They're going against the Seattle Seahawks. The Jets D-line against that Seahawks O-line and a gimpy Russell Wilson. Personally, with them having the bye next week, I wouldn't even play the guy. I wouldn't take the chance. It's not worth it. I don't like the Seahawks O-line against the Jets D-line at all anyway, let alone a banged-up Russell Wilson. I would let him heal through this game and through the bye and look at the season from a long standpoint, but it doesn't sound like that's what the Seahawks are going to do.
Yeah, this game is just ugly on paper, man. I mean, it could be like 17-13. I mean, tops, you know. I think Christian Michael is to the point where you want to use him, but the matchup is about as bad as it gets. But he should still see a lot of work. I mean, the Seahawks defense should be able to keep the game close. So, you know, it's not like they have to the Seahawks have to abandon the run. Christian Michael at this point is a guy who I want to use every single week. Thomas Rawls is out indefinitely. I wonder if Thomas Rawls' leg is just shot. You know, he was really, really slow to recover from that severe ankle injury. And, I mean, he's continuing to have problems with the leg. So, I would think about dropping Thomas Rawls. I mean, maybe wait till the end of the week to see if we get any more updates on him. But not looking good for him, and it's looking very, very good for C-Mike. Baldwin, you know, he's an every-week fantasy starter. On the Jets side, we should talk about Jimmy Graham, who looked great last week. I mean, he was making contested catches down the football field in traffic. I mean, he looked like he's ready to go. We talked after week two about how he had started to play. He became a full-time player in their offense again. And, you know, I think he'll be inconsistent. He was pretty inconsistent last year, even when he was at full strength in this offense. But if you need a tight end, like Jimmy Graham looks good to go right now, and he should be useful. And nothing about the Jets, you know, from a defensive standpoint against tight ends really scares me. The matchups are going to be tough for the Jets. We saw Fitzpatrick really melt down last week. And, I mean, this is an even tougher matchup than Kansas City posed, in my mind. I mean, I think the Seahawks have better talent defensively than the Chiefs. We'll see a lot of Sherman on Marshall. I don't know that he'll shadow him or chase him around the field, but we'll see a lot of Sherman against Marshall. And Jeremy Lane, the Seahawks slot corner, has been excellent. So it's not an easy matchup for Decker either. I mean, you know, these guys are starters in season-long fantasy leagues, but they, you know, you have to lower expectations in a difficult matchup. I mean, one thing you can kind of hang your hat on, I guess, with the Jets offensive players, Matt Forte, Decker, and Marshall, are that this is a 1 p.m. Eastern time game for the Seahawks, and they do not have a great history in 1 p.m. Eastern time games.
Got it. Anything else to be said about this one?
I think that's it.
All right. Let's go then. Cleveland, Washington. Can we talk about my guy Terrell Pryor, please? What are you doing with Terrell Pryor?
Starting him?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I have him in my one league, Fantasy Feast League, actually. Starting him. At a minimum, he replaces Tavon Austin as my flex play. Anyway, what else is there to talk about with the Browns? You start Terrell Pryor.
Yeah, and there's really nothing else to talk about. I mean, I guess we could talk about Isaiah Crowell. People really want him to be a thing. You know, I don't. If you don't have great running back options, Isaiah Crowell is going to get carries. And, you know, the matchup isn't too difficult in Washington. The game flow could be an issue if the Redskins offense performs like I think it has a chance to, though. I mean, this is a great spot for Kirk Cousins. We talked last week about Ryan Tannehill, you know, how he was the best streamer quarterback play of week three. Kirk Cousins is the best streamer quarterback play of week four. And, Ryan Tannehill didn't even play that well, and he still came out of that game with almost 320 passing yards and three touchdowns. So it doesn't take much, you know. And Kirk Cousins, he played a lot better in this last game against the Giants than he did in the first two games. Like, it seemed like he was pressing in the first two games, and on the road against the Giants in a tough matchup, he came out of that thing with 298 yards, no turnovers, two touchdowns. He hit DeSean Jackson, perfectly placed bomb for a TD. You know, they're doing stuff to make it easier on him. The Jamison Crowder touchdown was on a screen pass, you know, just making Jamison Crowder a punt returner in the open field, and he wins. And we haven't even seen a big game from Jordan Reed yet, which could very easily be coming against the Browns, who've allowed the second most receptions and second most receiving yards so far to opposing tight ends. So I think Kirk Cousins is, you know, Ryan Tannehill was the guy last week. Kirk Cousins is the guy this week. Kirk Cousins is the number 13 overall fantasy quarterback through 3 weeks. He's throwing for 300 yards in every game, even when he plays bad. You know, that's one of the things that we liked about him before the year. And if he starts to play well, like he did for the most part against the Giants, then he can really, really start to rip it up. I mean, his weapons are nasty. DeSean Jackson, Jamison Crowder is a player. Jordan Reed hasn't even had a big game yet. You know, they have a lot of playmakers, man.
All right. Awesome, awesome work, Evan, as always, with all of the fantasy advice this week. Of course, one of the best places you guys can use that fantasy advice is DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy football. You guys already know the deal with fantasy, right, with daily fantasy. No season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the guys you want. They got tons of different games. I think it's cool. I didn't even know until this week. Is the guy that finished 800th in week one's biggest fantasy football contest took home $100. So even if you finish 800th, you still win $100. Pretty cool. This weekend, you can win your share of $1 million. Just go to DraftKings.com, choose your players for this weekend's contest, enter promo code FEAST, and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code FEAST to play free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend only at DraftKings.com. Again, DraftKings.com. Use the code FEAST. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. That'll do it for part one of the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Evan and I will record part two momentarily, and then you guys will be able to listen to that tomorrow, bright and early. We will have that bad boy posted for you. But if you remember, you can't post two in the same day. There's issues with that. Yada, yada, yada. So anyway, appreciate your understanding on this one. It's been brought to you by FanVice.com, the home for all your daily fantasy sports needs. Keep an eye out for my Tucker in the Trenches video segment. I love doing those videos at FanVice.com every week. They also tweet it out at FanVice.com. DFS.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
I did it. I finally did it. I got a new car. I've been talking to you guys about it for a while. I got a new car. I needed one. My other one died. I got a new Denali. And I used TrueCar because why wouldn't I? I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for months now, and it's just a better experience. I mean, you're able to lock in the savings with a dealer on the website. They've got a huge certified dealer network. So if you're not sure how it works, you just go to the TrueCar website or you use the TrueCar app, and they've got this bell curve. It's a pricing curve that shows you exactly what that vehicle you want is going for in your local market. And then you can actually online connect with a TrueCar local certified dealer of your choosing, and you lock in the savings off the MSRP. You just go in, you hand them the certificate that you printed out off your computer, and boom, you're good to go. Over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.